Ticket, WAXYAM South Miami, and WSFS-FM HD2 Miramar, the only sports station in Miami with local and live coverage on weekends. Mixed martial arts and boxing fans, it's time for Fighter's Fury, Inside the Heart of a Champion, with your hosts, Brendan Tobin, Seema, and Tommy Guns. It's time for Fighter's Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
Here wise. There we go. Boom, boom, boom. Let's start this radio show, everybody. Seema's in the building.
Good morning.
Good morning, man. It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
I was just catching you up on the whole thing that went down with Clarissa Shields because her fight was canceled this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was super disappointing to hear because I went down to Fifth Street Gym, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. She's doing a media day in Miami because she trains, I think, in Del Rey. And so, cool. I'll go see the one of the best women's fighter on the planet. See her in action. She's a good interview. So went, got a chance to talk to her, and apparently, what went down this week was some heavy shenanigans at the weigh-in, and her opponent Ivana Habazin, her trainer, got laid out by what news sources are calling
allegedly
is Clarissa Shields' brother. Apparently, the guy was arrested. But Clarissa Shields, she's been saying that it wasn't anybody in her team, and she doesn't know if it was her brother. I don't know if her brother even is in her team. But that the fight was canceled, which was a bummer because it was in Flint, Michigan, so it was supposed to be this big hometown fight. That's what everybody's there to see.
Right.
So that's also a big money crusher as well. And, yeah, no fight. No fight. Didn't happen.
Bummer. I was wondering what happened.
I know, man. It was pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. But we did have a couple of fights last night.
But maybe that guy should be fighting.
The guy who laid him out?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It sounds that way. A couple punches, and you said the guy's face basically.
The guy's face is. Oh, it looked bad, man. There's no video of the incident. There's video of the guy laid out on the concrete. There's video of the guy getting wheeled out. There's video of the guy.
You don't hear that often nowadays.
I know.
With people with their phones and cameras everywhere, every nook and cranny of every.
I feel like
building.
There's got to be security. If it's happening in the midst of an arena, there's got to be security footage of it, right?
You would think.
So, don't know.
Hasn't been sold to TMZ yet.
Hasn't been sold to TMZ yet. Jeez. Hasn't been exposed to the news yet. It's a mystery. For right now, it's a mystery.
Incredible.
So, that's a big bummer for Clarissa Shields, who was trying to get this record. She was trying to win her belt in a third weight division. And the thing that was interesting about her is most male fighters, when they go to get more belts, they go up in weight. She's going down in weight, which seems more challenging because normally once you hit a plateau of a weight, it's very rare that the person goes back down. And when they do, the results aren't always the best. You know, see Roy Jones Jr. Like it's not always fantastic. I'm not saying it hasn't been done, but normally once you hit a weight in fighting, you usually stay at a certain weight. That's it. So it was interesting. But yeah, she's unable to get her belt, unable to get her record for right now. And huge bummer, and fast recovery to Habazin's trainer.
Damn family members.
I know, man. I was asked about this. I'm like, man, sometimes you go to these fights, locally it happens a lot, where you'll be there and you'll be like, man, it seems like the crowd is froggier than the people in the ring. Like they're looking to get something started more so than the actual fighters themselves, and they ruin it. I mean, to be honest with you, they really ruin it. You know, you go to all these incidents, these guys have great – you know, covering a lot of the guys down here, they work their asses off. They put blood, sweat, and tears into 2 month, 3 month camps. And, you know, they get to these times where a result happens, and then, you know, their friends are fighting. Their friends didn't train. Their friends didn't do anything. Their friends are showing up with a cell phone. They're talking bleep. They're making mean chants. And then all of a sudden they decide, you know what? I feel like I want to fight tonight. It's like,
emotional connection.
Yeah, nobody paid to watch you fight.
It's like when you go to the local sports bar and watch UFC.
Right.
Watch Bellator.
Yes.
Next thing you know, everybody's got their chest stuck out and they're walking to the bathroom and looking around like they want to fight somebody.
Yeah. Oh. So
the testosterone kicking.
Last night, Gennady Golovkin got himself a win over Sergey Derevchenko. I'm still having trouble with his name.
I can see that.
But he got himself a unanimous decision win. Close fight. Really good fight. Gennady Golovkin wins by unanimous decision. Knocked him down in the first round. Cut him up in the second round, which there was controversy whether it was a punch or a headbutt.
What's the difference?
As far as, like, it depends on whether the guy will lose or if they'll just go to the scorecards. This happened with the Tyson Fury fight a couple weeks back. Mm-hmm. Where Tyson Fury, it took, you know, this is funny. The commission messed up, and they told Tyson Fury's corner that his cut was caused by a headbutt. So he thought he had a parachute of, no biggie, okay, we go to the scorecards or it's called a no contest. ESPN was actually the ones that informed Tyson Fury's corner, no, replay showed it was a punch. And they have replay. So they ended up having to fight with a little bit more urgency because if you lose if you get cut by a punch, that's a loss.
Right.
So that was a situation he was dealing with. But this one, Gennady Golovkin gets off to a quick start. And then Derevchenko just is like bullying him. Body shots all around. Golovkin is not feeling it. It gets to I would say he probably won like four straight rounds. He's just like beating up on Triple G. And then
Derevchenko didn't get the memo.
Didn't get the memo.
Yeah,
man. He's showing up there and he's showing all the guts in the world. Very close, I would say, thereafter. Once we get to like round 7 through 9, it gets very, you know, they could go probably either way. And then I thought, like, the last 10th round for sure went to Derevchenko. And then I thought 11-12 clearly for Golovkin. And so we're in a situation where the final scores were 115-112, 115-112, 114-113. So one judge essentially had it even on rounds, but the knockdown was the decision for him. And the other judges, they gave the edge to Golovkin, but he also had the extra point because of the knockdown. Some people up in arms saying that Sergey should have won. I think that the decision is fair, seeing where the cards ended up. It's about right. I thought that with the fast start, with the strong ending, plus the knockdown, I don't think Derevchenko swept the rest of the fight. So if you're saying that he lost the first two, he lost the last two, you're now in a position, did he basically win every other round? Did he find himself in that position? I don't think so. I think he had a good run, you know. Definitely could have said that he won 5 rounds. Very good argument that he could won 6 or 7. But if that's the case, then you're looking at a draw situation because of the knockdown. So I think it's okay that Golovkin got his hand raised. But I think people surprised by Golovkin looking a little bit worn down in this one.
Getting old.
He is getting old. I mean, let's face it.
Isn't he like 38?
He is, I think, 37, 38. Yeah, and he has been in a lot of wars.
Doesn't that hurt to hear that that's old?
I know. It does. It does. But it is what it is with him. You know, like if you've been in a guy, he fights in closely contested fights. Canelo, you think the Canelo fights, the triple, the Danny Jacobs fight.
Yeah.
Been a lot of hard fought rounds for Gennady Golovkin.
Grueling fights.
So, you know, it's a tough spot for him. I don't know where he goes from this. I think. Honestly, with how good that fight was, I don't know what a great match for him is right now, seeing as Canelo is going to be fighting Sergey Kovalev for some reason. I think that a rematch would be pretty good as far as these guys are concerned. I don't know how much he's in the desire to go fight Derevchenko again, but from my standpoint,
he's trying to get a name. This guy has had the toughest time, other than Canelo,
right,
in getting somebody of notoriety so
true.
He can pad his pockets a little bit and retire. Like, give him something on a silver platter with a big name that everyone recognizes.
Yeah, but who do you go with him, you know? When you're
I don't know. Give him Manny Pacquiao. Jeez.
just slay Pacquiao.
Doesn't Manny fight anybody?
Just slay Pacquiao. Be like, listen, Manny, we got a proposition for you.
Yes.
Maybe Manny with one hand tied behind his back.
We'll give you another $30 million.
And he's like, all right, I'll do it. I'm in. I don't know. You know, there was that point where Gennady Golovkin was the guy, the boogeyman. Nobody wanted to fight him. Nobody wanted to give him a chance. In a weird way now, because of the Canelo fights, he's almost the second most famous middleweight. So who's up to his standard as far as a name? He's almost in the point where, do I want to fight Derevchenko again? Because what's the reward for me?
It's more to lose. Risk versus reward.
Yeah.
And why fight Derevchenko? Why? If it was as closely contested as you just described, why take the risk? Try to fight Canelo again. I thought he won versus Canelo.
Sure, sure. Plenty did. But I think Canelo's almost, he's in the position that Gennady's
in
now.
Why?
He's like, well, why do I fight Triple G? I fought him twice. You can't say that I didn't give him his rematch. I gave him his rematch.
Right.
Do I fight him? I mean, the judges have said I've won twice. Even if everybody's eyeballs say it's 1-1 or it's even 2-0 Triple G, who cares?
Yeah, I think it's 1-1.
I got it. I have the wins. I have the belts. I have the money.
Please.
So what, you know, what is the point of me fighting Triple G anymore? I've done all I can do here. Let's move on, everybody. You know I'll have another judge in the bag anyway. So,
I get that.
So what's the...
You just killed our hoops.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm sorry. So that was the situation yesterday with the boxing. Then we had UFC.
We had
Israel Adesanya.
Wow.
With a sensational knockout of Robert Whittaker. Just an absolute great performance by him. First of all...
It almost happened in the first round.
Almost put him down right as the round's closing out. Bink puts him down. He brought the whole package too, man. Like he brought the dance routine.
Coming to the
octagon. He's obviously a tremendous talker as well, but he is a flashy fighter. He's a fun fighter, and I think if anybody were to legitimately look at this and say, "Well, who could be the next UFC star?" I think that we're looking at it with him. Like he definitely looks like he's got star potential. He's got the results to back it up. He seems like he's just got everything going for him.
It's like Jones and McGregor had a baby, right?
A little, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were to make them in the laboratory, take the best of both, he's got a little bit of all that.
Just think he is a middleweight with 80-inch reach.
Yep.
John Jones, 84. Right?
Yeah.
So he almost has the range of John Jones versus these guys. You know, Whitaker's got a 70-inch reach.
Yep.
So he's nearly a foot longer in reach than Whittaker, who's arguably the most sensational middleweight we've seen in a little while.
Yeah, especially striking-wise. You're talking about how much he brings to the cage from a striking standpoint, and he just wasn't quick enough, basically.
I thought he was actually sloppy. And I know that some people said he had to fight an ugly fight order to win, but he was throwing haymakers,
right?
Leaving himself
so
open.
I think people look to the Gastelum fight that happened with Stylebender earlier in the year, and Gastelum got the early shot on him. But you know, Gastelum has that wrestling to go to as well, and really can put the damage on him that way. I don't know if Whittaker has that bag of tricks on him. It's like normally when he goes into a fight, he's gonna try and outstrike you. That's where he is. That's where he makes his bread and butter. And if you have a situation where a guy's a better striker than you or more unique or just has the range, has the quickness, where do you go to if you're at that point? And that's just what it was. He hit good shots on him, but the counter shots were more impressive. They were more damaging.
Big difference was defense. So Adesanya, when he got hit, he was always rolling, always moving, always dipping, always leaning back, even during that last exchange, he got caught. But if you look, he's clearly arched back, shoulders way back, and Whittaker never got a really strong, clean shot on him because he was always moving
and
back, absorbing some of the impact.
And that's what you're talking about with the range, too, where you're at a different standpoint. You're leaned back, but look at what you can still dish out from that standpoint, from that angle.
And that helps whip that punch back forward. So if he's leaned back, shoulders way back, and he's kind of hiding behind his left shoulder, and then to come back and throw that right hand and whip it as he's coming back using that leverage, that's what causes those knockdowns and knockouts ultimately.
So the interesting thing with him is, with Adesanya, is, you know, obviously when somebody has a performance like this, what are you going to see next? He calls out Paulo Costa afterwards. Clear number one contender. Costa, you know, beating Yoel the way he did. Getting the win there. So it makes sense. I think that's a fun fight. Two freaks basically getting into the octagon. Costa being, you know, cleanly bodied up like that going into the octagon.
Did you just do
that was a cramp that I had in my hand. I didn't do that at all. But yeah, it's those two guys. I think that makes for a really fun matchup between the two. But I think people already have when you have a star of this quality or somebody seemingly a star that's brewing like this, they're talking super fight. And they want to know, like, all right, there's been jawing between him and John Jones. does that fight make sense? Yet. Does that ever happen?
Yet. Not yet.
Too soon.
Please. Yes.
Too
Let
soon.
This guy. I mean, you're talking about John Jones at 205. I mean, that's a different animal.
It is. It is.
Great fight. Interesting fight, I think. But let the guy shine a little bit.
I'll let him shine.
Like,
but
at least a year. He's only been in the UFC, 18 months?
Yes, he has. It's been a phenomenal rise. However,
what a matchmaker you
are. If you are talking about a fight that, he can go beat Paulo Costa, and he can go beat the best at welterweight, you know, set him up with a fight with Yoel down the line, whatever. Do these fights. That's great. But no one, I mean, for the longest time, we were waiting for John to go to heavyweight and win the two belts and be the heavyweight champion. But imagine you have a guy who can go up and wait to go fight John Jones and potentially beat him, maybe beat him. That's a legend-making fight. That's a fight that's a fight that puts you among the greats of the greats. And I do think that's a difference maker when it comes to, you know, reigning over your division. But if you have the potential to go do that, because look, who's John's fighting right now? Not going to fight Daniel Cormier. Cormier is going to end on the Stipe fight. So what's out there that wets John's whistle, really? He's clean. He's already come back from his hiatus, and he's already cleaned out 205, basically. There's not many challenges left for him. And now you're going to tell me, I get to fight the smaller bleep talker? If you are him, maybe he loses, but he's probably not going to lose.
Do you think Adesanya wants that fight?
I think he does.
Really?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he knows. I think he's keen enough to know what that would mean to beat him. Now, can he beat him? I mean, we're talking about a guy who brings everything to the cage. That's a different story. I don't think so. I think that you've already mentioned the reach difference. John's a massive person. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's probably who could definitely be successful at heavyweight. But if we were to talk about if you were to talk about John, and I say this with all respect, deficiencies in his game, he'd probably say his hands are probably like the weakest part of the greatness that is John Jones. I'm talking about the hands that Adesanya brings to the cage. Those things are fire pistols, man.
If you can reach,
if you can
John,
get in there.
Because John's going to use his legs. So we talk about John Jones with an 84-inch reach. That's based on his arms.
Yep.
But he doesn't use them as much as he uses his legs.
Yeah.
That's 100-and-something-inch reach.
Well, you said it. It's going to have to be. It would be a case of Adesanya has to be he has to be the faster guy. Has to be a guy who's hitting John from angles that he's not used to. You know, most of the time, John's fighting, like, who's the fastest guy you think of John fighting? Most of them are pretty plodding guys. They're going to come straight forward. I mean, Gustafsson tried some of that with the angle stuff, but eventually, like, it was, you know, that wore down on him pretty quickly, especially in the first fight. It was successful for a couple rounds and then started to wear down on him. So, I don't know. It's an interesting one. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more of UFC 243 after this.
It's Fighter's Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
Welcome back, everybody. Fighter's Fury rolls on here. Did you see the rematch we've all been waiting for, Seema? Cain Velasquez, Brock Lesnar. It is coming your way, my friend.
Wow.
Cain Velasquez, Brock Lesnar squaring off on the Fox debut of WWE and the rematch you've all been waiting for whatever reason, because, I mean, Kane whooped up on him a long time ago. Finally, we look like we're going to get to see it. They are showcasing this for a match.
I'm so excited.
I'm telling you, man, it's all there for you. I know you've been waiting a long time. The WWE says, you know what? It's going to be a legit fight. In the midst of a pay-per-view.
It's going to be a legit fight.
Oh, yeah,
what
legit fight. Legit fight.
What does that actually mean?
Not scripted. It's going to be all. It's going to completely be on the level.
Really?
Completely on the level.
This coming from the organization that I just saw a whole behind the scenes of WWE in their choreography center. Look at that.
Yeah, Kane's whooping up on him again. That's surprising. I would have thought that after all these years that Brock Lesnar would have gotten the better of him. Well,
why is Brock holding his face?
I mean,
because he hit his arms.
No, he got marked up, man. I don't think you saw that. What are you talking about, man? Those are legit punches that went through. See, he's the champ.
Champ.
You know, he's worried that Kane's going to come take another belt from him.
I don't think he should be worried because Kane has to get over his back injuries.
I don't know. Have you seen Kane lately?
No.
So this is the thing. Kane, he can't do mixed martial arts, but Kane Velasquez is doing like luchador stuff. He's doing like backflips. He showed up to these like Mexican wrestling cards. He's doing the flip-de-doos and the spinny whirly things. All of it. I'm telling you, man. The Hurricane Ranas, all that stuff.
Really?
Yup. I'm going to bring it up right
with
now.
With his bad fused back?
Telling you, man, he's got it all going for him. It's he's an absolute monster now when it comes to the wrestling. So he is he's just dominating every realm now. That's him in the mask with this dude. He doesn't know.
Why has he got a mask on?
It's like Mexican wrestling tradition. That's what they got going on.
Your face.
Yeah. It has something to do with like the spirit of wrestling. I don't know, man. I'm making this up as I go. I really don't know. The point is he is a legit professional wrestler. He has been training to do this now. And now look at that. Look at Big Kane Velasquez. Look at the moves that he could do. He's like a flying trapeze artist. He can do it all now. Look at him. You just got to put your mind to it. Mind over matter.
Cirque de Ole.
Yep.
Listen. There you go.
That's a good job by you.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, that's coming down the pipe. And, yeah, yesterday we had on UFC 243, yeah, Dan Hooker. He got himself a win over Al Iaquinta.
Oh, Al Iaquinta. I felt so bad for him.
Why?
Because I was just like, come on, Al. Al, do something. Even his corner, do something, Al. Al.
They need some good news. I know. That is how that corner's. Come on. Hey, ooh, yeah, come on, Al.
Forget about it. That is something, Al.
I felt good for us. At least Australia got one win.
Yeah.
I tell you, I feel like these Australian cards, I feel like Australia has a hard time in some of these. Like, it can get kind of rough for some of the Australians.
And
like,
they get served up some pretty beatable opponents in
I
most
know.
Cases.
Oh, man, I was bummed for my guy, Tai Tuivasa. Yeah. I love that guy.
Like, they served up an unranked fighter for
They're
him.
Like, come on, Tai. Because they know that guy's got star potential, too, with the shoeys and the funny entrances. But he can't wrestle. And he got taken down left and right and then got choked out. So
What was the other guy, 8 for 8 on takedowns? Has that ever happened before
in a
UFC fight?
I don't know if it has, but it shouldn't happen like that. But yeah, Sergey Spivak, that's right. He beat Tai Tuivasa via technical submission, armbar, arm triangle choke in the second round. So that's 3 straight losses for Tuivasa. His last 2 ones weren't so bad. I mean, those were competitive fights, but this one was hard sledding. He got like 1 kick in, and then all of a sudden it was takedown city.
He actually moved over so the guy could choke him out. Did you see that? He, like, moved away from the cage, like, oh, let me give you some more room so I can go be done with this. I need to go drink a beer.
I think he's going to be, look, there's plenty of guys in the heavyweight division that will just strike. So I don't feel like it's the end for him. Because
put him in with Mark Hunt.
That's his sensei. Yeah. He loves Mark Hunt. He would never. It'd be like one of the Ninja Turtles fighting Master Splinter. Can't do it. Can't do it. It'd be like Danielson fighting Mr. Miyagi.
He should put him in against Kane with the wrestling gear on.
That I would like. Yes, that I would like. Did you see that Jorgen De Castro knockout? I felt so bad for that dude, Justin Taffa.
I didn't see that fight.
Oh.
Was it prelims?
No, it was the first one of the main card.
I missed the
but
first
it lasted
one.
2 minutes. And it was, I'll bring it up for
Are
you.
Are we going to watch it?
Yeah, we're going to watch this because this was a dead knockout. De Castro, he just had that right hand waiting for the dude. He ran right into it.
Knuckle sandwich.
Right into it, man. It was bad. So got himself a bonus. That's how nasty it was. It was a really nasty right hand that he ran right into.
And who else got bonuses last night?
It was him, Adesanya, and then it was Riddell Malarkey was fight of the night. And that was a good fight.
That
was a good fight. And
that was a pretty brutal fight. They were grinding.
It was. Here's the knockout. And whoop. Yep.
What just happened?
Well, big boy here with the tattoos.
Yeah.
He used his fist and Well, he went night-night.
Oh, he hit the guy's fist with his face.
Yeah, yeah. It was okay. An interesting strategy by him to use his chin on that dude's fist to see if that would work. It did not. And so, night-night. That's it. That's all she wrote.
Wow.
Nothing left. Boop. So, big fella got himself a 50K bonus.
Yeah, he did.
Good for him.
Good time at the buffet.
Yeah, man. He's having himself a little celebration. So, yeah, that was kind of the highlights of last night, UFC 243. Next week we have UFC Fight Night in Tampa. You into that? It's on ESPN Plus. I know how much you love the streaming.
Yeah.
Joanna really and Jacek is fighting Michelle Waterson, the karate hottie.
I think that's a good fight.
That is a good fight. That is a really good fight. This is another good fight too. You have Cub Swanson, Juan Gracie is going to be, that's another good fight.
And Cubs look good lately.
Yeah. Let's see. Luis Pena, Matt Frivola is coming back. You got, what's his name? Is Psycho Bob Ross, I think is what he calls himself. Yeah. Luis Pena. That's a good name. it's a decent card next week in Tampa. I don't know if anybody's taking the trip up there. I am not, but that's an interesting one. And then I'm excited about this. Next week on DAZN, Seema, Alexander Usyk is making his heavyweight debut against my guy. I love this dude. Tyrone Spong.
Really?
Yup. Yep.
You do love some Tyrone
Spong. I love Tyrone Spong.
You have a man crush on him.
I do. He's a good dude. Yeah. He's a nice fella. And you want to talk about some big boys. Listen, I've been watching the Tyrone Spong boxing since he was fighting them big fellas in Mexico when they're trying to fatten up that record. And, you know, it's tough when you're in boxing. Like, who wants to fight? It's like, who wants to fight the 32-year-old who has a massive right hand? He can knock me out. Yeah, you know, what is he? Used to be a kickboxer.
Yes.
I want to fight this. Not really into it. But he gets this fight against Usyk, who is, you know, one of Eddie Hearn's big stables. This guy ran through cruiserweight. He won everything there is to win at cruiserweight. And so now he's moving up in weight. And they're like, all right, well, who do we debut him against? And you give him against this former kickboxer. And that's it's a tough challenge for Spong, man. That's because, you know, Usyk, he's... I don't know what it is with those Ukrainians, man. They're like as pure as boxing as it gets. Like they're so damn good. You see Derevchenko last night. You see Lomachenko, all these guys. I mean, the boxing skill set that is coming from that country is really, really, really good. But Tyrone does have that bomb, and this guy hasn't been in there with heavyweights. It's very long odds, and it's tough asking the one-punch knockout guy to do that against somebody with the skill set of Usyk, but... If Spong is able to get that win, well, then he's off to the races because you beat a very recognizable name, a very hyped heavyweight debut, and now you're talking, oh, well, maybe he'll actually be in the mix for contention.
You have DAZN?
I do.
You do?
I do.
They got you in.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Listen, I've been ranting on DAZN here since they've debuted because I don't understand it. I don't understand how DAZN has all this money that's poured into it. And by the way, they're far and away the most expensive streaming service, and I don't know what peacocking around they've done to think they deserve get to do that, because ESPN's $5.
Yeah.
UFC Fight Pass, $10. And DAZN, they're like, well, we have Canelo, so $20 a month. And I'm like, holy hell. Now, I got the grandfather price, okay?
Yeah, because you got early. You
I got early
dibs. Early adapters.
But normally, you're more of a business savant than I am, Seema. But I would feel like you'd like to maybe ease in the price increase, maybe like $15 a month.
They had to make that money back.
They were just like, guess what, everybody? $20 a month.
They're shelling out all their money for those fight deals.
And you know what a bold move by them was? This is the email they sent out this week, because they always send out programming emails to let you know what's coming. They sent out an email that says, get Canelo and Triple G for the same price. Now, they're not fighting each other, which you all want, but you get to see them for $20 a month. I'm like, all right.
Is that how you watched the Triple G fight last night?
It is. It is. It is.
Because I didn't even know about the fight.
Well, that is a problem with DAZN. I think that they have a rift as far as marketing. Like, they got all these fighters, right?
They do a great job of marketing themselves because they bought a lot of spot inventory that everywhere you look, it's DAZN, DAZN, DAZN.
Michael Buffer's doing that thing.
Yes.
You see Michael Buffer doing his cute little his little announcements. But, I don't know, man. I don't know. It is a question of...
Maybe the whole business model is creating a secret society around boxing. So they can keep everything a secret except for people that spend the $19 a month.
I just think it's like you said, like I'm okay with doing the, you know, okay, I have a Fire Stick to watch stuff, or I'll link up my, you know, HDMI to my computer to watch the stream to my TV. But a lot of people just want to flip on their TV, man. They just want to flip on their TV and watch boxing.
That's what I want to do.
You know? You
just I'm old school.
One step. Maybe two steps. Okay, I'll fork over the $40, $50, $60
right,
if
it's
a monster fight.
I'll push the order button.
But it's like, I got to give my info. I got to log in. I got to give my credit card info. I got to pick a username, a password.
God forbid your phone like go through something and now you have to remember that freaking password.
Oh, yeah. No. That's not for me, man. Oh, man. We're back with more after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
Post-fight, Dan Hooker called out Dustin Poirier after his victory of Ally Aquinta. Dustin tweeted to him, "I'm fighting the Irishman next. You're close, but not yet, buddy. Keep punching Dan the Hangman." He then suggests that Dan should go fight Cowboy. "I'm chilling until something that excites me, working on my craft." I kind of like that Cowboy fight, Dan Hooker. I'm not going to lie.
I do, too.
I'm intrigued. You're a good matchmaker, Dustin Poirier.
Yeah. Him and Sean Shelby should get together.
I agree. I don't know. I don't think Dustin Poirier is going to get the Conor fight. I know he keeps pushing for it.
Who's going to get it?
I don't know. You know what? If I was Conor.
Isn't it wild how this is like
still a thing?
Like a blessing. Like to get a Conor fight.
I know. It's like, hey, please.
Who's going to get it?
If I was Conor, Dustin Poirier would make a lot of sense to me because I beat him very easily.
Yeah.
It's at a different weight class, and I do think Dustin's better.
I think he's better up, too.
But
Dana should walk out with a hat. Like, take five guys and take their names, put them in a hat, and then do – it's like the lottery, the NBA lottery draw.
Right.
They should do the lottery and bring it to MMA.
So some fighters going to have to tank to get more picks? Is that
maybe
what's going to happen?
Maybe, something like
just
that.
Just to get a better fight?
Take some notes from the Dolphins.
I don't know. All I want, look, this is what I want. I feel like the UFC, they got a good end of the year coming up, right? We're getting Masvidal, Nate Diaz in November.
I love that fight. Winner fights Conor.
Nah, come on. You think so?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's just the end of it. You know, instead of the bad.
Why not the trilogy between Nate wins?
I just feel like it would have happened already, right? I feel like.
Sometimes you need some time in between.
Unless Nate's just such a weird, just marches to his own drum, because he's the one who called out Masvidal. I think Masvidal is was close to being there legitimately for the UFC title, for sure.
I think Masvidal wins that fight.
I think he's going to win that fight, too, to be honest with you.
He's more well-rounded, crisper, more well. Like, Nate, to me, Nate's like someone walking around and hitting you with a wet towel. You know what I mean? Like, it's bad, like these sloppy, just kind of bump.
There's just some bad intentions that's been going on lately with Jorge when he goes and fights somebody, you know? Like, it really has been impressive watching him. I mean, he did get through a pretty bad knockdown, too, in that Darren Till fight. Like, he got hit early. Other than the flying kick right to Darren Till's junk, which I'm sure that was no bueno. But then got knocked down.
But sometimes you got to do that to balance even things out.
I guess. Got knocked down, came up, and then knocked him the hell out in his own country. And the flying knee is obviously legendary as it gets right now. And with Nate, like, Nate is going to piece you up, and Nate's going to Nate's going to put damage on you. But, you know, it's the idea that he's just going to strictly, like, put you away with bad intentions. I don't know if that's really his style. Like, he got Conor. It was kind of more of Conor petering out, it felt like.
It was.
Then was in a real dogfight with Conor. I know some people think Nate won that fight. Some people think Conor won that fight. But it was very even. And, you know, and he looked great against Showtime Pettis. Looked great.
He did.
But I mean, it feels to me like George's wins of recent are of guys who are actual, you know, George's wins were against guys who have been contenders or
and coming
or,
up
and,
too.
And coming on the up and up. So I don't know. I feel great about where Masvidal is at this standpoint going into this fight.
When's that fight again? November, right?
November 2nd. Which, by the way, Masvidal, why don't we rethink doing the turnover chain and wearing the turnover chain to the octagon? I love the turnover chain. I'm not one of these jokers who thinks the cane should disbar it, but I do think it's got bad mojo on it right now. So I wouldn't wear anything to do with it.
What are they? 0-4? 1-4?
They might as well be 0-4. they're 2-3.
Same thing.
They're 2-3. They got a team, they lost yesterday. They were down 21-0 to a team that was in a dogfight with Furman.
Jeez.
So it's been hard sledded for the Canes.
I looked at it was like 28-0 at halftime, right?
It was bad, man. I don't know what to tell you.
They almost came back.
They almost came back. If not for a kicker, I mean, this kicker, I mean, I don't like to speak ill because they're college students, but my God. They should try some new stuff. That's all I'm saying. They got an Australian guy who punts. See if he kicks. Australian fella. You ever think about kicking field goals? Forget the punting.
Can you drop kick a field goal?
I don't think that's legal anymore. I think they've gotten rid of that. Who's the last person to try the drop kick? Was it Flutie?
I don't know. I saw some guy do it in NFL last week.
Did they?
Yeah.
I missed it.
What's his name? Wasn't it Tucker?
I missed it. If it happened, I missed it. But I believe
the Ravens. I think he did it. I think he was the guy that did it.
I think the dropkick is a good strategy. I think they should bring back the dropkick. Something. Just please.
They need a spark. But Masvidal, leave the turnover train at home, please.
Yeah, don't do it, brother. Man.
We're rooting for you.
Look, I know. Yeah, and I know your managers are huge Canes fans. Boys, you just got to let it go. All right, not just like all Canes mojo. Stay away right now.
Unless
you feel like Masvidal is going to turn the mojo around. Like maybe if he's going to, but at that point, what are the Canes playing for? I mean, they're floundering to be 500 right now. So I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze, quite frankly. But yeah, you got that fight coming up in November, and they got Usman versus Covington's going to be at the end of the month. Now look, the way this is going drama wise, let's be honest with it. Yeah, Covington, Masvidal, those two win. And that needs to be the fight to start 2020.
They won't fight each other, will they?
Nah, they hate each other now. That's the thing.
Really?
Yeah, bad falling out between them. Apparently, according to Masvidal, that Covington ripped off George's trainer, and they've been bad ever since. Not good. A lot of drama going over at ATT.
Ripped off his trainer? Like
didn't pay him.
Oh.
Didn't pay him.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like stolen or something. I'm like, how do you steal a trainer?
Oh, yeah, no, that's kidnapping. Like, he would be in jail.
Okay.
No, he just apparently didn't pay what he was owed. So, ooh, that'd be little frosty.
Don't mess with my money, man.
Imagine ATT, all the iciness that's going on over there. I can imagine.
Like two different corners of the building.
Yeah, well, that's big enough. It's not like most gyms. That's true. Like, American Top Team's so damn big, they actually could hub a beef with no conflict. That's how big that place is.
That's true.
Like, most places, it's like, oh, we're in a garage. What are we going to do? You go to most of these boxing gyms, legendary gym, Fifth Street Gym, no bigger than this studio. These guys training their asses off, piled up on top of each other.
Yeah.
American Top Team, you basically stand.
It's like this building.
You basically stand at the breakers. That's how beautiful that place is. It's got so much space. I look around, I'm just like, my God.
What is all this for?
Is there an actual football field in here? I walk back there. I walk behind the cage. There's all this turf. You literally could run the Wildcat offense behind there. It's so damn big. It's ridiculous how huge that place is.
Hey, did you see the guy fighting last night with the hair shirt?
Yeah, it was amazing. I love it, man.
He had a hair shirt.
Yep.
Neck cut out and everything.
Honestly, fighting a guy that hairy, that's got to be one of the most disgusting things out there.
Have you seen that Geico commercial?
I would,
and the guy's in the shower with the shag carpet.
I would be.
That's kind of like it would be once he gets all sweaty.
I would be in training camp just thinking about how can I avoid being anywhere near this guy at all costs. Because I can't. I can't be with the body sweat and the dripping down, the dripstick that's going down with his hair. No way, man. That's not happening. Not in this watch. No.
When he walked into the cage, I was like, what is that?
Yeah, is that a uniform? Is that a uniform violation? Like, does Reebok have a problem with him wearing that? The extra shirt? That should be Mike. That should be Bruce Buffer's intro, the Wookiee. That's how it rolls, man.
I thought they would have made him shave. They make guys shave now because of their beards.
They do.
Yeah,
it should be a commission issue.
Man,
like the Australian Commission.
That was incredible.
Like, when did the Australian Commission think it was okay to have a wallaby actually in the octagon? That's not okay.
He didn't do too well though. He didn't throw a lot of punches. He threw like 20 punches the whole fight. He probably weighed down.
He's weighing him down. He's just slow punches. What is he supposed to do? You know, wow. You ever see a grizzly bear try and punch? It's a slow. It's a slow process.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, man.
What's next? Are we pick? Are we doing fight picks?
Sure.
Are you
what do you want?
Joanna?
What do you want?
You're not picking Joanna. You're picking Watterson.
Oh man, that's a tough fight. I am going to go with Joanna. I think Joanna's going to win that fight. I waffled on
it. She's dropped down in weight or gone up in weight?
She has done a fight at flyweight. She has done a fight at flyweight, but she's mostly been at strawweight. I don't feel like she did it very much. But she did say that, you know, she did have bad cuts at strawweight. You know, she was the one who released some of those videos where it was like, oh, yeah, she looked like she was actually going to die cutting weight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's been as big an issue. I'm trying to think. When is her last?
I'm thinking that this is going to be like her coming out with ATT.
Yeah,
this is her third fight with ATT.
She fought
right?
Her last fight was her last fight was 10 months ago. It was against Valentina, and it was at flyweight. But that,
so she went up.
She did go up.
I don't think she's good going up in weight. I think she's got a thin frame, but I think down at strawweight, she has more power.
I mean, look, Joanna, I know a lot of people want to throw dirt on her. Look at the people she's lost to. I mean, she has three losses. One of them is to Valentina Shevchenko, who's amazing. And then two losses to Rose Namajunas, who might just have her number.
Yeah.
But, I mean, before that, was looking as dominant as it can be. I don't think it's quite time to just call it a career for her. She's still got a lot left in the tank. Now, Michelle Watterson's looked fantastic as well.
She has, but I don't think she's beat the same level of competition.
Her last win against Carolina Kolakiewicz was a good win, but it's not as good a win as it would have been like 3 years ago. It's a good name to have on your resume. Her losses, she's lost to Tisha Torres. She lost to Rose Namajunas a couple years back.
I'm going with Joanna.
I'm going to go with Joanna, too, to get the win there. But it's a good fight. And then Cub Swanson versus Kron Gracie. Do you have a preference there?
Cub.
I'm going to go with Gracie.
Good for you.
I think I'm going to go with Gracie. We'll disagree on that and see what the results are. How about that? Loser has to wear...
You did that intentionally.
Loser has to wear the bear shirt.
The bear shirt. Man, it's a hair shirt.
Whatever, man. Everybody have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you guys next week.